Hello, welcome to the Basketball Soapbox. This is episode 43, and I'm your host, Daniel Daly, and we're going to be talking about the Eastern Conference semifinals that are happening this weekend, starting on Sunday, with the Knicks and Heat here. Looking at this series here, two surprising teams that have made it under seeds that have made it over higher seeds. The Bucks are no longer extinguished by the Miami Heat. And then we have the Cleveland Cavaliers, who were kicked out by the New York Knicks. Looking back at those two series, were a very surprising series to me, especially because I thought Cleveland had the advantage in terms of Donovan Mitchell's explosiveness and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. And in that series against the Knicks, Jalen Brunson outplayed Donovan Mitchell. As we look at that series back, and then Mitchell Robinson on the front line, just abusing the front line of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, which was very surprising to me. I thought they would have a skills and size advantage. I thought they would be a little bit better protecting the rim. But this is a young team next to Donovan Mitchell right now. And just to see the Knicks just outplay them, out-tough them, Josh Hart with great minutes, Julius Randle being tough against those guys. But I think Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, Mitchell Robinson were the key factors for the Knicks in that series. And to see them do that, and see how well coached they are and disciplined they are against the Cleveland team that just didn't seem to have any answers, no shooting, no answers on the front line, and just inefficient shooting from Donovan Mitchell. They really just imploded. And that was really put on full display by the Knicks. And kudos to the Knicks for playing great defense and executing when they did. As well as we're looking at the Miami Heat, probably the biggest surprise of the Eastern Conference in the first round matchups and across the NBA. When you look at how they extinguished the Milwaukee Bucks, who were a title favorite. Yes, Giannis didn't miss probably, what, 3.5 games? He missed a big portion of game one. He missed 2, 3, came back in 4, came back in 5. And you just saw how the Miami Heat were just able, even shorthanded, as with Tyler Herro, who broke his hand also in game one. And you're just looking at all the contributions that they had from guys that were out of nowhere. Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Kevin Love. A lot of these guys, we didn't even know their names. There's a couple other guys. Hayward, I believe his name is. Like, they have a couple other guys that you didn't even think that came in and played big time and really put away some leads there. I believe Milwaukee was up 14 in game 4, right? Like, in game 4 in the fourth quarter. And then in game 5, they were up 16. And both times they blew the lead, and Jimmy Butler was fantastic. He was amazing. Put the team on his back, really did everything that they needed for them to even have a chance and then win the series. For him to do that was crazy. But kudos to these two teams, who are kind of a throwback 90s team, playoff teams that we've seen and grew up and loved and watched as we were growing up, and seeing their toughness and how being physical, being tough, being disciplined can overcome a lot of things in the NBA, especially when other teams are not ready, even if other teams have more talent. And that was the case in those two series, right? Like, we Miami Heat down Tyler Herro. You think they just signed him. You think that would be a big factor, and Miami just stepped up. All their guys stepped up, starting with Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. All those guys played great, giving Milwaukee trouble. And then you look at the Knicks. All those guys, like, they just put it to Cleveland Cavaliers, and they just had no answers. But looking ahead to this series with the Knicks and Heat, sitting here and thinking about how all those – the history of this rivalry, right? It all started in 1994 when Pat Riley sent a fax. No, it was 1995. Yeah, 1995, he sent a fax to the New York Knicks saying, yeah, I'm quitting, I'm leaving. And went to the Miami Heat like a thief in the night. And the New York Knicks have never forgave him for that. And basically starting that rivalry started with Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway. And then you see the Heat get Oakley, and they get Ewing, and they get LJ, Larry Johnson, who has beef with Alonzo Mourning. All those battles, all those tough battles with P.J. Brown, Jamal Mashburn, Allen Houston, you have all these battles that are happening. And then in 1999, when you think about how Allen Houston's last second shot eliminated them, and the New York Knicks were an 8th seed and the Heat were a 1st seed, and just all that. And all these battles, especially from back in the day, were just physical. We had a little rekindling of it with LeBron and Carmelo. with Miami and New York there. But ultimately, we're getting that again, and we're getting the personalities of those 90s Knicks, those 90s Heat, Pat Riley, Jeff Van Gundy, like all these guys that were in the mix of that battle. We're going to get that in this series. Tibbs was on the defensive staff for the New York Knicks as well at that time, too. And you just look at the history here. Everyone knows each other. It's going to be so crazy. And especially when you see Jimmy Butler going up against this team. You see Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle. Like, these are no-nonsense guys. Like, this series can be anything that we want it to be, right? Like, this is going to be a bloodbath. Like, it could be a game that finishes in 80-85 type of game that throws back to the 90s and all the type of scoring that people hate today. This is the series for you. If you want to have old school basketball, this is going to be the series potentially on paper. The New York Knicks, I think they have the advantage in this series with just depth and Jalen Brunson, various ways to beat you offensively with Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle inside. And then Mitchell Robinson playing a big factor. He came up big time in that series. I can see him also coming up big time in this series as well, especially on that front line. It's going to be interesting to see how Bam Adebayo battles him and see how that goes against the, like, how those guys go against each other. I think New York has a little bit more rim protection than Miami. It's going to be very interesting to see how Jimmy Butler plays this. Are the Knicks going to double him? Is he going to be able to continue? Because we've seen Jimmy Butler have spurts where he puts on great performances, and then sometimes he might lay a dud and stuff like that, and he kind of plays it by ear, right, as the series is going. If he doesn't have it that night, he doesn't have it that night, and then he plays well in another series. But this series, they really can't afford him to do that because the antennas of the New York Knicks are up. Like, New York Knicks are going to be up. They have R.J. Barrett, Jalen Brunson, all these guys here, Quentin Grimes, Josh Hart, guys that they're going to continuously throw at Jimmy Butler. And it's going to be interesting to see how Miami answers that. And Spo, of course, one of the best coaches, one of the best tacticians in the NBA to make adjustments, figure out stuff, and do stuff unorthodox. Can he figure out a way to continue to use his guys? Because Kyle Lowry hasn't been the best. Tyler Hero is not available. Duncan Robinson has had a good series last series. Can he continue to keep that up? Can you continue to count on these guys that people really don't know about on your roster to compete with the New York Knicks, right? Like, that's the biggest thing that we're trying to figure out here, because we know the Knicks have depth. They play 7-8 guys deep, and they have a chance there. And it's just like, this is going to be a tough series for the Knicks. And they caught the Milwaukee Bucks off guard, but I think there's going to be a little bit more of a challenge there going up against New York, right? So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. I think it's going to be a big series for Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. I think they're going to have a little bit more of an advantage in this series than they did the last series. And it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Miami, I just think they're too depleted. And yes, Jimmy Butler's going to have great performances. There's going to be a lot of emotion in this, a lot of history here, of course, between him and Tibbs when he was in Chicago and then Minnesota. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out between these two teams here. And it's just going to be a bloodbath. Yeah, I think there could be a chance for it to get so physical that people get kicked out. Maybe even a little blood in the series. This series is really a throwback to the days of the 90s Knicks and the 90s Heat, like those 90 playoff battles where it was just fisticuffs. And it's going to be great basketball. It's going to be entertaining. I think people are going to enjoy it. And hopefully it's a good series. Dang, it's going to be tough to pick against Jimmy Butler, man. That's my dog. It's going to be tough to pick against Jimmy Butler. Can I do it? I think the odds just might be too much for the Miami Heat in this one, man. It just really might just be too much. I'm going to pick the Knicks in six. Knicks in six, and that's going to make the Knicks fans go happy and crazy and run around. And I hate to pick against Jimmy Butler, but I just don't think they have enough in this series. We'll see how it goes. I believe it starts on Sunday at 1 o'clock. I believe it starts on Sunday. So that's going to be an entertaining game, and we'll see how that goes. Moving on to a rivalry from literally the 80s, right? When you think about Philadelphia and the Celtics, there's so much history here in terms of battles and intense basketball. When you think about the East in the 80s, you think about these two teams. Like, these two teams come up to all, wow, like, just the I think it was 1981 when the Celtics overcame a 3-1 deficit against that Philadelphia 76ers team with Bobby Jones and Doug Collins and Dr. J and all those guys back in the day, Larry Bird, and then, wow, Tiny Archibald, all these guys in that series. And then you go further, you have Dr. J, and of course he's punching Bird, and you see all that happening. And, yeah, Andrew Toney, Boston Strangler. You just think about all these guys here that in the history embedded in this series, this one series. And especially even recently with Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum, the past couple of years, the Celtics have been able to get the upper hand on the Philadelphia 76ers. And it's going to be a battle for supremacy in the Eastern Conference, right? Like, you think whoever wins this series is most likely a shoe-in to get to the NBA Finals. And I hope, of course, that it's the Celtics, of course. But you can't count on Joel Embiid, who has been a problem all season, most likely the MVP this season. And looking at his trajectory, he's a little hurt right now. I believe he has a right knee sprain. And seeing if he can go in this series, and hopefully he's able to go, because I want this to be good basketball and entertaining, and I want to see a battle. That's what we want to see, ultimately see. But whoever wins this series is probably the most likely candidate to be in the NBA Finals. And you're just looking at it and just seeing, of course, the Celtics have had the Sixers numbers the past couple of years in multiple series, 2018, I believe. Yes, 2018, 2020, and they've just been able to dominate. Brown and Tatum have been able to do whatever they wanted against the Philadelphia 76ers. Just the more depth. Like, I think this team, the Celtics, are going to provide a little bit more trouble than anybody else against the Sixers, right? They have big wings in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They have Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, who can control the backcourt, switch, play defense, play in the end of the lineups. The Celtics really don't double Joel Embiid in terms of, well, they do double him, but in certain situations, they don't really attack him. They kind of do single coverage, kind of bait him in, do certain things to make him uncomfortable, play the passing lanes, and just make it difficult for him. And it's just really the only counterpart for here for the Philadelphia 76ers is James Harden. Can James Harden be that explosive guy that we saw in Houston all those years? Not with the nagging hamstring injury that he had in Brooklyn and in Philly. So you're just wondering if he's going to be able to step up. And it's really about the others for the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid is going to get his points. He's going to get his rebounds. He's going to put pressure on the defense. But can James Harden, can Tyrese Maxey, can Tobias Harris, George Niang, guys of that nature, guys like that, can they make enough shots? Can they provide enough difficulty for the Boston Celtics in order to make Joel Embiid the most effective? That's the question. Can they do that in that type of series? Can they do that? And I really don't think so. I think the Celtics just have too many answers right now, and it's going to be a tough series, of course, but I think it really relies on Joel Embiid's health. And if James Harden can return to form and get these other guys involved as much as he does himself, and James Harden has been better the second half of the season, you know, providing points and scoring, being a better guard. I believe he's going to make All-NBA, I think third team or one of these teams at the guard spot. I think he's earned that spot with his play. But, of course, how James Harden is now judged is basically by the playoffs. Are you going to come up short again? Are you going to go missing? Are you going to go disappearing? All these rumors about, hey, yo, you're going to Houston in the offseason. Oh, that's rumbling out there. Is that going to happen? And it's going to be interesting to see how he plays, because James Harden is going to have to go up against Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, Derek White, Jaylen Brown. The Celtics are going to throw multiple looks at him. And it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that, right? Can he handle the pressure of those guys attacking him, a hobbled Joel Embiid? Like, if Joel Embiid can't go, can you step up and really lead your team without him? And it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, from the Celtics' perspective, are they going to be able to put Joel Embiid in those pick-and-roll situations to really test his knee, to test his injuries, to test how he's moving? Are they going to get him in foul trouble? how are they going to guard James Harden? All these things going into this series is going to be, I think, leaning the Celtics' way. I think the Celtics have a little bit more balanced offense. I think the Celtics can do a little bit more defensively, especially on the perimeter against James Harden and others. Tyrese Maxey, all these countering parts here. Like Tyrese Maxey, can he have a big series and kind of elevate the Philadelphia 76ers from that standpoint? Can he provide enough, be enough of a gnat, enough of a problem on the offensive end to give the Celtics a little bit more of a rotation issue, guarding up straight up, doubling Joel Embiid? Can these other guys make shots? Can PJ Tucker, can Tobias Harris, can these guys provide enough flexibility for them to score enough, to win enough? Is there enough balance there to give Joel Embiid help? That's really, really the only question mark for the Sixers is, can they do that? If they do that, they give themselves the best chance to win, right? They really do. I think they have a chance here, and especially with the way Joel Embiid has been playing, if James Harden can up his play, those are question marks there for the Philadelphia 76ers, but they are able to answer those. They have a real shot at being the Celtics. They got to give themselves a chance here, and they have Joel Embiid, who's just going to basically get his numbers. You know he's going to get his numbers, pound inside, shoot from the nail, the mid-range, score in that nature. And if he's able to go, maybe the extra break helped him. Celtics losing game five, extending that series a little bit. Does that help him? And especially, I don't think that they play until Monday. So that's a long time for Joel Embiid to be off, but it's also giving him a lot of rest and seeing if that can help him be 100% for game one. And he's not going to be 100%, of course not. Now, a lot of guys aren't. But if he's able to be better than expected, they give themselves a chance. And I think Philadelphia can live with that. But from the Celtics standpoint, I just think the Celtics just have too much. I don't think Philadelphia can compete in terms of I don't think Philadelphia can win four games against the Boston Celtics. That's ultimately what it is. Yes, I have the Celtic green on, have the hat on. And yeah, I just don't think they can do it. I think Boston has too many answers. I think the Atlanta series might have woke them up a little bit, hopefully woke them up, and hopefully the Boston Celtics can continue this ride. I think the Celtics are going to win this in six. I think Philly enough is good enough to barge and fight enough to get two games out of this, and I think the Celtics are going to win this in six and go on to the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially against the New York Knicks. Finally, potentially even another rivalry happening. Like, there's so many rivalries here, so many intertwined players on this in these semifinals in the Eastern Conference. You got Jimmy Butler battling Tibbs. You got Jimmy Butler's history last year with the Miami Heat against the Boston Celtics. You got Jimmy Butler's history with Philadelphia, Philadelphia's history with Jimmy Butler, the New York Knicks in Philadelphia. They haven't been too friendly this season, so it's gonna be interesting to see how this plays out. With these two teams, but I got the Knicks and Celtics in six in these series to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see how that goes down. And it's going to be a great series. This is rivalry in the Eastern Conference semifinals, and I can't wait to see it. Thank you for joining me. Like, comment, and subscribe. And until next time.